Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
Live from the land that freedom forgot, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. Welcome to it.
Well, before, can you hear me clear?
Sandy? Who's clear?
Okay. Oh, listen to this. Before I introduce the three of us on show 781 here, as the three of us from New Jersey would say, Happy Mudder's Day.
Happy Mudder's Day.
If it wasn't for the Mudders, we wouldn't be here, right? As they say in Newark, for you listeners out there in the Midwest and stuff, that's how we do. But this show is going to be a great show. It is Mother's Day. So, again, happy Mother's Day to all your moms out there. My mom, et cetera, et cetera. Mom's in heaven. Mom's doing double duty work, triple duty work. And I'm off the NRA from the board meetings in Houston. I spent a week there, and I spent a lot of time with the Penn Patriot, Charlie Cook as well. And John Petrolino was one busy guy. You know, he's been doing all this investigative journalism with the NRA Foundation and Oprah requests and suing the state of New Jersey and everything. And, you know, you want to talk about a heavy lifter. Holy shit. You know, and not everybody is about, you know, just filing lawsuits or being a plaintiff. There's also people out there reporting all of this that's going on and getting us over the hump. And that's what John has been doing for I don't know how many years. So without further ado, from Bearing Arms, the Penn Patriot, he writes for everybody. He'll go over it in a few minutes. But John Petrolino, welcome back to the show, brother.
Hey Anthony. Hey, Sandy. How you guys doing today? Thanks for having me.
You're the best, bro. So what else do you do besides the Bearing Arms, the Penn Patriot, and everything else in New Jersey? Share with us, please.
Well, I'm staying busy. I do have bylines, you know, at Bearing Arms, Ammoland.
Ammoland.
I don't write there as much as I used to, primarily over at Bearing Arms. Concealed Carry Magazine and print. I'm also on the board of Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, which is the affiliate 501c4 to the Second Amendment Foundation, and I'm, you know, raising cane in the Garden State.
You sure are.
Next week, we're going to have Holly Sullivan on, and it's related to you, too, as well, correct?
Yep. We'll talk a little bit about that, too. And, okay. That's some exciting stuff that we have going on. Holly is also on the board of Citizens Committee. But the first thing that I wanted to do, get this out there now, is...
Do it.
Anybody has any questions for me, you can email me, john@thepennpatriot.com, because we're going to cover a lot of stuff that we have going on. And Anthony and I were talking about this the other week, and as you know, I've been doing a lot of research on permits to carry in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to get everybody up to speed, you know, some of the stuff that I uncovered was that we're finding that black people were getting denied more than double whites, and that was just my napkin math. And, you know, you and I guys, you know, we talked about this in 2024.
Yeah, exactly.
After that was, you know, figured out, a independent group, they did their own research, and after they normalized the data, they found that actually blacks were being denied more than 10 times whites. And in Ocean County, 50 times. So Rise Against Hate is the group that did that.
I had him on the show.
Did that study. Yep, Ben Shore from Rise Against Hate.
You can't make this up.
No, it's totally crazy. And this is for a subjective standard, guys. This isn't for criminal history. Folks that already have their firearms identification cards are now being denied getting, you know, carry permits. So last year, I think you could... remember, we were talking about how many permits were really being issued.
Yep.
And there was a bit of a conflict about saying, you know, what the numbers were on the permitting dashboard. So me and Sean and Grant from News2A got together with Stuart Gepp, and we crunched some numbers, and Stuart brought to our attention that the dashboard wasn't really reflecting what we had. And that's where we came up with that, I think, like a 66,000 permit, you know, number. But while we were doing that research, we realized again that this didn't include the retired police officer permits, right? And, you know, to get a clearer picture of what's actually going on in the state, I think we needed to know what's going on with the RPO permits, too. And there's a lot of people that said, you know, there's not a lot, there are a lot, you know. I said, well, let's see what we can find out about that. So I was just looking to get the numbers to get started, dip my toe into the water. And a lot of this is chronicled over at Bearing Arms. There's a bunch of articles about this. And I did an open Public Records Act request with the AG and the state police, just looking for the numbers of permits. And
you're not worthy.
Yeah, you know, I just wanted to find out. And the AG denied the request. They said, well, we see that you have a records request open with the state police. That's really who you need to talk to. State police actually asked for an extension. I was like, oh, this is huge, because in all my years of doing this, you know, and diving deep on this stuff, I've never gotten a single records request, you know, accepted by the New Jersey State Police. Them asking for an extension on time was, you know, actually just BS. Then they ended up denying my request. They said it was overbroad, improper.
So wait, they said we need more time to deny your request.
Yeah, we need more time to make shit up.
Overbroad,
not to give this to you.
Yeah. And improper. Why would this be overbroad and improper?
Well, they were also trying to say that the firearms permitting data is, you know, not subjected to being looked at from the records requests and, you know, that kind of thing. And they said, oh, you're looking for information, it's not a record. So I said, okay, let's take another crack at this. And so I go ahead and I filed another one, and I said, let me get a record of the sum of the money that they received for retired police officer permits, right? You know, and that, I don't think that that's too crazy, you know.
No.
I'm just asking for the money. This is a line item, you know, in the coffers. And that didn't take long. They denied that request too. They said it was improper, overbroad. I'm like, all right, they don't want to tell me how much money they collected. They don't want to tell me any of this stuff. I said, all right, let me take another bite at the apple. And I did a third release. And this release, I just said, I want all of the 2024 and 2025 RPO permit to carry applications redacted. So I want the actual applications. Take out the name, take out the address. All I want to know is the city. I want to know the sex. I want to know the race. I want to know if they were approved or if they were denied. And if they were denied, I want to have the reason, right? And what are we looking for here? We want to see if there's similar trends with the retired police officers as there are with the civilians. Or is there preferential treatment? Is there bias, right? Are there any denials at all, right? And Anthony, you've heard mixed stories about, actually, you know, some RPOs have had nightmare stories getting their permits, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Especially depending on how they retired or they went out. If they went out under a disability, like if they were stressed out or something, and it's 15 years later, they get their carry permit denied.
Yeah, so you know? That's, like, crazy. So I'm looking for this information. Again, I'm not looking for names. There was a lot of people that got very defensive, like, why do you need that information? Why do you, and it's like, well, look, it's out there for non-police carriers. Why shouldn't it be out there for the RPOs, right? So ultimately speaking, they ended up denying that request.
Of course.
Yeah. So that request got denied. So then I'm getting a little bit mad, and I wrote the records custodian an email, and I said, look, I want more information from you. Why do you guys keep, you know, denying these requests? And then, of course, he writes me back, and he says, my request is improper, it's overbroad, it's all this stuff. And basically he said that your recourse is to sue him. So I look at that as an invitation. So on February 27th, John Petrolino versus New Jersey State Police and Trooper X was filed. So I took them up on their offer. So I'm now suing the New Jersey State Police, trying to find that information. And again, you know, I'm seeking the records. This is also, it's a First Amendment complaint. It's a complaint under common law as well, and a civil rights violation. So my attorney, Don Dougherty, he's a absolutely wonderful guy. He is an animal with this stuff. He is a top-notch Oprah, you know, lawyer, and he's, you know, we're putting in for everything, and we're not going to relent, right? So also part of this is, you know, the state failed to identify a records custodian. So by law, they're supposed to be signing these things. Like, I'm supposed to know who is denying my requests. And even in the email, like, it was unsigned. You know, they're not putting their names out there.
So it's just the blob is denying it. No one takes any accountability in government.
Exactly. So that's where the state, you know, the Trooper X comes in. And people that have access to New Jersey e-courts, you could look all of this stuff up. You just got to log in and look for civil complaints, and you could track everything, you know, the complaint and the replies and all that stuff. So the state reached out. It's funny. The state reached out three times looking for extensions on, you know, the filings, right? And they were trying to get the original date, because the original court date was April 28th, and they keep trying to, you know, get it pushed. So eventually, you know, we conceded and, you know, said, okay, we'll give you some time here and there. But here's the thing, you know, one of the emails or the letters that they sent into the court, it specifically says, and I'm going to quote it directly, it says, the parties are working to amicably resolve this matter. And so now, like, I don't feel bad about telling you what I'm about to tell you, because my attorney discussed this actually on the record on May 1st. That's when my hearing was May 1st. He said, and he had gotten a phone call from the AG's office on, it must have been Friday, April 24th. And they were asking for more time because they were actually planning on building out a dashboard that's identical to the civilian carrier dashboard.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, okay. Like, I'm like, that's cool. We're going to get the information, it looks like. Or, you know, maybe they're trying to moot out the case. They're definitely not happy with some of the arguments that we put out there about common law and the civil rights violations. Like, that stuff I think they're maybe afraid of. But the state's reply brief comes out right before the date. And, you know, the way they finagled this, it was like they put in their reply brief and my attorney had like a day and a half to get our reply brief in. So, but he got it done. There was no dashboard, you know, produced. They're fighting all of our claims, everything. And it just states that the state's interest to keep the information concealed outweighs my interest and the public's interest to have the info shared.
Yeah, how so? Right.
Right. So, and they put certifications in their filings from the company that, you know, manages these databases and all this stuff. And, you know, there was like a lot of malarkey, man. Now, one of the things in the filing that was very interesting, Anthony, how many RPO permits did you think there were?
I think there's 20,000.
20,000. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a big number. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is what it noted. It said, you know, these are just applications. We don't know how much was issued. So we know they have a record of this stuff. So they can't say they don't have a record of it. We know they have a record because they put this in their brief. In 2024, there were 991 initial applications and 5,116 renewal applications.
So what is that?
What's that?
What is that in total for the year then?
I'm going to give you the total.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, 2025, there was 978 initial applications and 3,752 renewal applications. So we don't know if they were approved, denied, or what, but that's 10,838 applications across the 2 years, which with the permits are only good for 2 years, right?
Yeah, correct.
So that's to give you an idea of the health of the state of the RPOs. So we did have our hearing, like I said, and for one, the state had antiquated forms still on their webpage, so stuff that we cited in our brief was like kind of null and void because the state didn't have up-to-date forms. Trooper X, we'll say, was identified. They identified Trooper X also in their reply brief, but there's no actual certification from the state saying as such, other than it was in the brief, if that makes sense. Right?
Only you are supposed to follow the law. Not right. The law.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, the judge listened to both sides. And I'll say, because I sat in on the hearing, you know, the judge acknowledged me, that, you know, of course. But I didn't have to say anything. That was great. It was probably for the better, right? and, you know, I'll say the state did not have a very compelling argument. And they just said that I should not have the records. That's what they're hanging their hat on. They're hanging their hat on that these records are protected from release, but I'm not looking for the actual records, for the data, right?
Uh-huh.
And we conceded that we would take the statistical information. Like, I'm fine with dashboard, right? I don't need the applications. I don't need all that stuff, because do I want to do 10,000 applications? I mean, if it comes down to it, you know, we're going to party and everybody's going to get some, and we're going to look through them, you know, but take a dashboard, you know, this information should be public. So we had our hearing on, like I said, on the 1st, and we should be hearing back from the judge on some of the next steps here. I'm shocked we hadn't heard anything yet. But that's
now, what would the next steps be? What is the scenario of the next steps?
So the scenario of the next steps is, like, there should be an opinion, right? But the judge might ask one party or the other for more information. Who knows? You know, and who knows what conversation the judge is having with the state also, right? Because I'm sure he talked to them after we got off of our call.
You're not privy to any of that, yeah.
Right, so I have no idea what's going on there. All I know is that we are supposed to hear back sometime, you know, during the week, and we'll see what happens. You know, I might get an opinion. Like I said, we might get requests for more information. Maybe he'll draw up or say that we draw up a stipulated judgment. I doubt that. If that's something that comes up, I'm going to have like a very heavy hand with what I'm going to actually want at that point. But we'll see.
Wow. Keep us posted, please. What else?
On the same topic of, you know, the permit to carry transparency, one of the things that got pointed out, you know, Rob Romano, right?
From yes.
FPC. Rob Romano's mm-hmm. out there on X. Wonderful guy. He brought to everyone's attention, you know, via an X post, that once the administration's changed over from the Murphy administration to the Sherrill administration, the permit to carry dashboard stopped getting updated. So I didn't even notice that. There was several months where it did not get updated. So we started looking into it, and NRA ILA actually put out a notice about this because they picked up on it too. And, you know, actually some, you know, the ships kind of passed in the night, because it was kind of funny how this all went down. Rob is tweeting about that, and then I started working on an article about it, and then the next day I'm like still working on the article. I go to finish it and the dashboard was updated. I just, what the heck happened here, right? In the process, while that was going on, I got interviewed by the New Jersey Monitor, and the reporter over there, Dana, great reporter, good woman, she and I were talking about my case and the lawsuit, and something I had mentioned to her was that the dashboard hasn't even been updated, you know, since Mikey Sherrill took over. And she actually went and queried the AG's office about this, and she's got a much different relationship with them than I do, I imagine. I think they actually talked to her. She's like, what's the deal with the dashboard? They're like, no, we're going to update the dashboard. You know, it's just we've been busy. And they scrambled, and they actually updated the dashboard, like, overnight. Like, they got the dashboard updated and on the backlog based on that reporter just calling them. But while that was going on, you know, NRA ILA put out a notice. And I'm going to have links to all of the stuff that I'm talking about here. I'm going to put it over on Facebook. I'll pin a post on Facebook about this podcast with links to everything if you guys are interested in it. And definitely go and look for this NRA ILA link, because in it, you know, they're pushing for A222. Now, A222 was introduced last session, and it was introduced in direct response to this bias-related, you know, information that we've uncovered. And it has to do with putting into statute the reporting dashboard, where the dashboard has to be, you know, produced. But more importantly, and it also includes FID cards and purchaser permits, but more importantly, it also forces the Attorney General to, you know, come up with an explanation for these, any denial. Like, why are people being denied? And if there's trends, right? So A222 is something that ILA is pushing, and they have a form. So if you go over to the link, like I said, it'll be over on Facebook, and I'll even share it with you too, Anthony, if you want to put it out there in
yes,
the show notes.
Yes, please.
To take action. And this is a big thing. Taking action, I think, is incredibly important. And don't think that it's not. And for a lot of years, Anthony, like, what did people say? Like, they're not taking the phone calls. They're not taking the letters.
Mm-hmm.
All of it counts. And I think you
right.
agree with me. And right now in 2026, I don't want to say we have the upper hand, but we definitely have the law on our side. And there's a lot of things going for us. And we have to be engaged, and we have to, you know, interact with our lawmakers. So that call to action is, you know, NRA's form letter for you to, you know, send to your legislator to let them know that they should support A222. And, you know, I think it's meaningful. So that's something that I wanted to put out there.
John, how do people contact you? Well, how do you want them to contact you?
Yeah, john@thepennpatriot.com. So,
gotcha.
And anybody can email me about any of this stuff. I'm more than happy to answer, you know, questions. And
perfect.
Yeah, so speaking of the NRA, what did you think about the meetings, Anthony?
The energy is there. The positivity is there. The transparency is there. The communication is there. Treating members and representing members is back fully 100%. Listen, I've been in this game. I've been going to NRA meetings since 1999. My first meeting was in Philadelphia when it was small enough to be had at Philadelphia. So this is 27 years. I've missed two NRA annual meetings. And after what happened with the Wayne LaPierre thing in 2019, I can tell you this was the best meeting ever. You came to the president's reception that night. Did you feel the energy? Did you see the communication at the members' meeting? You share it, John, because I'm an NRA board member, so listeners are going to think I'm biased. So please, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help you, Sandy.
Exactly right. As you noted, I was very busy during the meeting. So I interviewed 15 people, and then I got interviewed by more than half a dozen, in addition to lunch meetings and all kinds of other stuff. But
he's
I
so popular.
I was. it was just a very busy time. I was trying to make as much hay as possible. But Anthony's not kidding about that energy level. It was very high and very upbeat. Very little negativity. Very little bickering. The members meeting. Now, full disclosure: this was my first NRA annual meeting. I've never been to one before, so I don't know what to compare this to. Other than I know that there have been some contentious annual meetings
mm-hmm.
over the years, and even like last year, I'm sure was fireworks, right?
Yep.
And the year before that, right?
Yep.
With like when Amanda Suffolkwell was getting, you know,
berated by Charlie Cook. Cotton.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm always thinking Charlie Cook because he's a douche. But go ahead. He's going to listen to this show too.
Yeah,
I love him.
You're going to give him a complex.
No, I love him.
Charlie.
I love him.
We're trying to get him to come down to Acapente's dinner. I'm working on him. So
I'll pay for his hotel room if he comes down.
Nobody got gaveled down at the meetings. Like, so
nope.
People that wanted to talk, they were allowed to talk. The only, you know, little bit of maybe friction was Bill Bockenberg was trying to hear more from the members than the directors. And I think some directors took exception to that. And
yep.
I don't know the full backstory. And look, I've got ideas about this. If you want to hear them, we could talk about them offline. But you know, directors got frustrated because they wanted to be able to voice their thoughts, but this stuff had been some of the stuff that was being discussed for over a year and was already privately discussed.
We had a town hall meeting a week before.
Yeah.
Where there was about 56 of the 76 of us on, and those guys were on it. And the members meeting is for the members to come up and voice their opinion. There's nothing wrong with a board member coming up and a little bit, but it started to turn into a pissing contest between a couple of board members who were pro and con for some of the stuff we were debating. And Bakkenberg was like, we'll do that Monday at the board meeting. Let's hear from the members today. That's what they're here for. So I'm all on board with Bakkenberg. It should not have been a board member bitch session.
Well, yeah, and he didn't gavel anyone down either. He just said, look, I want to hear from the members. And, you know, the place to meet in the middle on this could have been the dissenters could have gotten together and came up with one representative. To say, they could have done it debate style, 3 minutes, 3 minutes, 1 minute, 1 minute, or whatever, whatever. And this way the members could be privy of the board members' concerns, but it did kind of turn into a tennis match. So, but I agree that it's the members that I felt were the ones that were supposed to talk then. But again, you know, hearing from dissenting directors, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but, you know, it did kind of spiral.
Yep. And you see Monday at the board meeting, we only went into executive session for stuff that we had to go into because when Wayne was ruling the roost, we were in the executive session from 9 in the morning till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I was there for up until around 3 p.m. and you guys went into executive session once while I was there. And that was for an election-related matter.
Yep.
And, you know, stuff that was being discussed was stuff that was maybe related to litigation.
Yep.
I don't even know, right? Things that were alluded to, you know, leading up to the executive session probably shouldn't even have been said, so I'm not even going to repeat
that. Correct.
Them,
we always end up doing that. We end up talking freeform, and then somebody will get up, usually like Jeff Knox, and go, I think we should be discussing this in executive session because yeah. We're trying to be totally transparent, you know? And then we'll turn to board counsel and go, Alex, should, and he's like, yeah, we'd be better off doing this in executive session. So we're really trying and leading with Bakkenberg down and Doug and everybody, and you see how accessible everybody is. Like even you know, you're a journalist, and did anybody hide from you all the time you were there?
No. And I only had I had one director, you know, give me garbage about my coverage of the NRA and NRA Foundation stuff. Mm. And I was like, okay, look, I'm being more than fair in my reporting, but he wanted to accuse me of being, you know, unethical or, you know, not telling the whole story. He said, look, I've got my invitation's open. Anybody from the NRA Foundation that wants to talk to me on the record, off the record, on background, anything, I will keep it off the record if somebody wants to talk to me off the record and point me in a direction. But nobody's taken me up on any of my offers to talk, and so be it, right? So all I've got to work on is the filings, right?
Yeah, I know. I can narrow it down to probably one of three directors that did that to you. But anyway, that's life. We're getting a lot better. We're at a point now where the reformers are running the show, and it's really good, the transparency and everything. So what else you got? Well, you know what, John? Let me do some housekeeping because they're going to give you the rest of the show completely, okay?
Okay, go for it.
So real quick, this week's gun of the week is a Grand Power Schreibog SP43A3. I have no idea what this. Oh, it's an other firearms. It's a roller delayed blowback action chambered in 45 ACP. I need this. 8-inch button rifle threaded barrel, fully ambidextrous controls, full Picatinny rail at 12 and 6 o'clock with M-lock slots, mil-spec AR-style trigger with non-reciprocating ceramic head. Oh, yeah, I need this. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, we're really taking a lot of Cerakoting orders now. Gunforhire.com/Cerakote. We're doing everything in-house. Obviously, we've discussed this. Also, you know, we have that one dog for adoption in Bergen County, Legend. It's a pit bull terrier boxer mix. Legend's 3 years old, a bundle of love. He's 70 pounds. He's an affectionate and playful pup looking for a home. Contact at gunforhire.com for more information before I ship the dog to the shores of Alabama to Sandy's house. Next thing is Challenge Coin Museum, the New Jersey. We have the Challenge Coin Museum. We're always looking for more coins. If you want to check out our extensive collection of challenge coins, it's njcoinmuseum.com. Go and check it out, njcoinmuseum.com. It's a huge part of history that a lot of people don't discuss, all right? So we got two Friends of the NRA dinners coming up. The first one is the 4 foot 11 and a half mighty warrior, Sandy Hickerson. She's looking for monetary donations. She's looking for gift baskets. She's looking for guns. She's looking for gun cases. She's looking for ammo. She's looking for gift cards, okay? And it's going to be Saturday, August 1st, and I will be there. It's at the Hamilton Fire Department. If you need to contact her, it's acfriendsnra51@gmail.com. She also wanted to let us to know that her FFL sponsor Tony Perez at High End Armory has stepped up. And again, he's going to be a gold sponsor and a table sponsor at that show because we all know gun people are the best people. So please support High End Armory. And then this other pain in the ass has been killing me lately, which is John Acapinti. All right. He wanted everybody to know that his dinner on October 7th, I think it is, and I will be there. Florida, because it is some bitch, by the way. He wanted everybody to know that, you know, the flyers are all over Gun for Hire, Woodland Park Range out here. Tables, if you buy a whole table, it's $1,776 instead of $1,800. You get a free gun, and with that table, each of the attendees gets $5 gift card to Gun for Hire. We also have $3,000 gift card to Gun for Hire. By the way, we also have our key speaker. You ready for this, John? Our keynote speaker this year has already been secured, all right? And I'm not going to tell you who it was yet because John is not ready to support it. I will tell you later.
I know who the keynote speaker is. I know who it is.
All right, good. Know already. All right, good. Special thank you to Tracy from Ramsey Outdoor Store for donating a beautiful three-piece travel fishing rod to the live auction this year. Nick, Northeast Target, everyone's favorite reloading supplier for his generous contributions. Listen, this is an adventure. He wants to shoot. It was $183,000 last year. He's shooting for $250,000. This money, if it's $250,000, $125,000 stays in the state going to youth shooting programs, et cetera, et cetera. You beat that with a stick, okay? The next thing I wanted to talk about, I don't want to spend too much time. I want to give John his due here because it's always hard to get him on the show, is CNJFO, you know, with Don DeCase and what's that other guy's name that you did the article about a while ago? What's his name?
Jimmy Howard.
Okay, they're doing a bunch of stuff on June 11th. They're doing a meet and greet at a cigar night in Summers Point, which is going to have cigars and a gift card for a gun store. On July 11th, they're hosting their annual Sporting Clays event at Lehigh Valley Sporting Clays. Oh, that's a connection to the Friends of the NRA dinner right there, John, isn't that? Lehigh Valley Sporting Clays. This event includes a continental breakfast and catered lunch from Grumpy's Barbecue. Oh, man, I have to go to this. And on August 12th, we are having our annual cigar dinner at the Cigar Social in Freehold, okay? September 27th, they're hosting a fishing trip at a Point Pleasant. And lastly, November 10th, they're holding their annual joint fundraiser with the Women for Gun Rights at the Mansion and Main Street in Voorhees. I sadly will be missing that. I will be on a little vacation. They are definitely the busiest grassroots association, and it's cnjfo.com and info@cnjfo.com. They're hosting events all over the state. If you would like to host an event at a cigar lounge, your pizza parlor, your gun range, please do it. Please do it. Anybody out there shooting a bow, anybody out there shooting a crossbow, there's a new grassroots organization that just started. John, are you aware of the New Jersey Crossbow Association?
I'm not aware of them.
Anybody that says NJSF, no, NJSFSC.org, NJFSC.org. They're opening chapters all over the state of New Jersey, every county. It's the New Jersey State Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs. They started this whole new grassroots division with crossbows. And right now they just have a Facebook page, and it's the New Jersey Crossbow Association. I'm going to be having these guys on the show. They're going to be talking because, of course, New Jersey is trying to pass more laws, get getting rid of crossbows and limiting the pull on a crossbow, limiting the pressure, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Last thing, a shameless self-promo for Matt's friend published a book, and I'm trying to find the information here. The book is called D-U-R-A-J-A-N, Durajan, okay? And you can find this on booklife.com, booklife.com, Publishers Weekly. This guy is moving along. There's going to be a link, and I'll have more information for you next week. I got this info late because of the show, so I'll definitely have more to talk about this. So without further ado, John, how can people contact you?
John@thepenpatriot.com, and then I'm most active on Facebook at The Pen Patriot. And if you follow me over there, you know, just my personal account, that's the John Petrolino account, just go over to The Pen Patriot. I do keep the accounts separate, just to put that out there. But again, anybody that wants to reach out to me, email is probably the best way to do so.
Boom. Do it. All right, John, all right. It's all you. The next half hour, bish.
Perfect. Well, we were talking a little bit about getting involved in activism and how it's important to be heard and seen, and it really is. And I'm going to talk about the Permit to Carry Rebate Resolution Project. And everybody that's listening should know that there are towns that have been nullifying the, you know, municipal portion of the carry permit fees. And, you know, people have been getting rebated their $150. That started in Englishtown with Dan Francisco over there last year. Well, this is a big tent initiative. It's being spearheaded by the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, along with the New Jersey Firearms Owners Syndicate and NRAILA. So NRA is involved. We've got a lot of different people involved. And like I said, it's a big tent initiative, but it's grassroots. We have 20 municipalities that have passed resolutions or ordinances. And, you know, a lot of people ask about, you know, what about this town? What about that town? How can we do the next one or whatever? And if it's your town, you got to get involved. And, you know, actual residents getting on the record from that town in particular, it's needed. Not just concerned citizens from around the state. And we've had a lot of patriots that have come out from all over different corners, like Michael Glenn's been heavily involved, you know, a whole bunch of people.
You know, but like, look, I've been talking for 3 weeks, Mark Steele, right, in Monroe Township. He's the only one every week, every month he goes to the meeting. Nobody's been showing up. Monroe Township, Mark Steele, he's the only person, and he's going to continue going until the resolution gets passed and they get rid of the illegal fee. Unity and activism is key. John, to open with that after the break. That doesn't cost any money. If you live in a Monroe Township, it doesn't cost, if you live in a surrounding town, to just show up during the meeting and sit in the seating area, the politicians will think you live in a town. Whatever. All wars based on deception. Sun Tzu. So, John, go ahead, continue. It pisses me off.
No, and you're absolutely correct. And these things matter. And what doesn't cost any money is sending a respectful email, you know, or
right.
a notice. And
I don't have time to send an email. And, why don't you do it for me?
I'm going to tell you, because there's a couple of case studies here that I've been looking into. And, you know, we've got people from all over the state that contact, you know, guys like me and Joe Laporto and the guys at News 2A. Well, Sean and Grant and I from News 2A, we were, you know, we're the ones digging into these records. We're the ones looking, and what do I mean by that? We're looking at the meeting minutes. We're reading these things. We're seeing who's talking about what. But we're also filing Open Public Record Act requests, okay? And in some of these towns, I'm finding minimal involvement. Like, there's, like, very little movement. And a big town... One town with 60,000 residents, okay, and they don't have a lot of permits to carry, maybe 700 permits to carry, but that's plenty. I think Toms River is number one in the state, maybe neck and neck with Newark, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is a town that people are trying to pass this rebate resolution in an all-Republican council or committee with a Republican mayor that's running for higher office on a county level. And they can't get any movement on this resolution. So I'm digging into it, and, you know, I'm doing the records requests, And when I push comes to shove, there's three people. Three people have emailed them. And
out of 60,000.
And yes, and nobody is showing up at the meetings. Like, these things matter. It absolutely matters to send these emails. And like I said, I'm checking in on this stuff. Like, I'm finding out who's talking to these mayors and who's talking to these council members. And it's not good when it's only three people. That leaves everybody with zero recourse, okay? There was another town that, you know, has heavily been involved, and one citizen's been, like, out there as like, the lone guy. And when I queried that town to see who's talking, the records request returned Sean and Grant's emails and the one guy's emails, and that was it. These are the only people that have wrote the council the query about the rebate resolution. So when the, you know, the council members and the mayors, like, seem like they don't care.
Yep.
If they're only getting one email they from don't one care. Person, you know, why would they care? There was another town that debated this for three meetings, and on their final debate, they noted, and it's in their minutes, that not one single citizen from their actual town was complaining about it. All of it has been from advocates from surrounding towns. So if you live in these towns and you want this rebate resolution to be passed, you have to get involved. Absolutely. No,
but they want somebody else to get involved.
Well, we got to put a little bit of skin in the game here. And, you know, you could reach out to me if you have questions. Reach out to New Jersey Firearms Owners Syndicate. Reach out to Joe Laporto, joe@njfos.org. And he's busy, you know, because he's got a job now that keeps him very busy. But this rebate, this resolution, you know, project is still very, very important. And, you know, we need involvement on it. So if anybody needs help or wants help, cool. Ping us, hit us on the syndicate, hit us an email, however you want to hit us up. But we got to put skin in the game, guys, because they're paying attention. And I've got nothing. There's no story. I can't write about something where there's only one person emailing. Now, if there was 200 emails in that guy's inbox, I could say, hey, there's 200 emails in your inbox. But that's not the case. So if you guys want it, we got to go and try to grab it. That's, you know, I don't know how you feel about that, Anthony, but, like, I think it makes sense, right?
Listen to me. We talk about this all the time with the heavy lifters, and it's just apathy out there and lethargicness and people pointing the fingers and complaining. If you're not going to be not willing to do the work and poke the bear, nothing is ever going to happen. It's always the small amount of heavy lifters that do all the work, and then we receive all the criticism for it. For if you make one misstep or say something out of line, they villainize you and turn you into shit. Meanwhile, you're the only ones out there doing it. I say it all the time. Have you donated any money? Have you gone to a meeting? Have you done this? Have you sent an email? These people, they can't even send an email. They can't even show up to their town meeting. You wonder why we're in the position we're in this country. It's rotten from the core.
Oh, absolutely. So we absolutely have to get involved. And part of that, so I'm going to segue into actually a lot of what I have. Everything that I got left is upcoming events, is just things that are going on that I want to make people aware of. You talked about some of the events. Some of them I'm going to expand on. But this business of being an advocate and an activist, there's conferences for you out there. There's places you could go to learn. There's places you could go to meet people. So the first one, and I'm not going to take the thunder out of your next guest, because Holly's going to be talking about this. But the New England Firearms Advocacy Conference is a conference that's happening on May 30th. And this is in Chicopee, Mass., so we could drive there. It's not that far. You can get a hotel room. And anyhow, it's May 30th, and it's being hosted by the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. And again, Holly and I are both, you know, board members of the organization. And Gun Owners Action League is heavily involved. Mike Harris and those guys over there have been helping out a lot. And this is going to be a state-level advocacy, litigation, lobbying, and grassroots activism, you know, kind of education thing. And specifically, this is going to be focusing on the New England states. But as you know, what happens in all of these states, you know, travels, right? There's we have a lot of things in common with the people in Massachusetts as far as infringements. As a matter of fact, they're getting new infringements that they didn't have prior to Bruin, because now where we got more rights returned to us, some of these other states are getting rights taken away that they, you know, Massachusetts was like a 90% shall issue state. There was only a couple of areas that were may issue per se, you know, in practicality. So New England is dealing with a lot of different things, and there's states to watch up there. So this conference is going on up there. I hope people will come out to it. It's $25 to attend, and it includes a one-year membership to Citizens Committee. And that's going to be held at Castle of Knights Event Hall. It's 1599 Memorial Drive in Chicopee, Mass., and there's a Marriott Residence Inn. But if you want information about this conference, again, you can email me or go to ccrkba.org/FAC. And I'll let Holly talk about all the speakers. We're just talking about some of that. It's going to be great. Charlie's going to be our MC. We're really excited. There's a couple of special guests that are going to be there that are going to be speaking. So I hope you guys from Jersey will come on out. Now, if you've got a little bit more pep in your step and you want to travel, I absolutely recommend people coming out to Gun Rights Policy Conference and to AMCON. And AMCON is the Alternative Mass Media Conference. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like a sidecar to GRPC. Now, this is hosted by the Second Amendment Foundation and CCRKBA, right? So it's a joint endeavor. And this is, mark your calendars, it's the weekend of September 25th through 27th in Dallas, Texas. It's $25 to attend GRPC. AMCON right now is free if you want to do that. It's two separate registrations. There's a suggested donation if you want to, you know, donate for AMCON. But these are, it's a weekend of networking and learning and doing. And if you do want to get involved in advocacy, and even if you're not involved in media, AMCON is a great conference for you to go to really get to the nuts and bolts about messaging and things like that. So it's open to everyone. It used to be only open to media, but we've opened it up to anyone that wants to come now. And like I said, that's going to be in September. And if you want information about both of those conferences, AMCON, you could go to amm-con.org. And for GRPC, it's saf.org/GRPC. Now, if you do want to come to both of these conferences, if you want to do both AMCON and GRPC, go to the AMCON page. You can register for both through the AMCON page. For GRPC, if you want to just do that, go to the saf.org/GRPC. But these are two very important conferences, and they just put out a select number of their speakers on their speakers list. I think Jared from Guns and Gadgets is going to be there. Oh, they got cool. A bunch of people. So it's going to be a good event. And that's where you get to meet some of the movers and shakers. And, you know, if you're interested in this, you got to get involved. And a couple of years ago, we had a whole bunch of people from Jersey that came out. Brad came out. And of course, Joe. There was a good contingent of folks. And, I think it's important for us to be represented at these events. Anthony already talked about CNJFO. They have the Cigar Social, the Cigar Dinner in Freehold, the Clay Shoot, the Fishing. The Cigar Dinner in Freehold, I'm going to be going to that. I already got my ticket. There's a limited number of tickets. It's going to be a great event, okay? And then I also got confirmation that at least one local politician, so, you know, a town-level politician, somebody that actually was involved in a rebate resolution, will be at the event. And then there's another notable person that I don't think he would consider himself notable, but I'm going to say he's notable. That's going to be showing up. It's not me. It's somebody else. But they're starting to fill up. So that Cigar Dinner and Freehold, you definitely want to check that out. And I'll have links to all that stuff available.
You know, John, I want to add, like you said, you know, they're getting one or two emails, right? And, I talked about this all the time because I had State Senator Anthony Bucco, when he's an assemblyman, tell me that whenever politicians in New Jersey are running for office in re-election, they get the records from the state police. They find out how many FID cards are issued into town. They either get it from the state police or their town. So they know how many FID card holders are in their district. So again, everybody's talking the talk, but if a politician is representing 180,000 people and 16 people have FID cards in their district, do you think they're going to care what you have to say? And I've been saying it for years. Every time someone turns 18 in your family, anybody who shows an interest, get them a firearms ID card. It's worth 4 points in motor vehicles anyway, unless you're an illegal. You don't need any points. But if you're a citizen, a taxpaying citizen, you need to have proper ID. Everybody in your hemisphere should have an FID card because there's power in numbers. And with that, John, what do you have to discuss next, brother?
Yeah, the last item that I have is I do want to revisit the Friends of the NRA dinners. I know you talked about it a little bit. So we have the North Jersey dinner with John and JJ, and then there's also the Atlantic County with Sandy Hickerson. So I'll talk more about John and JJ's dinner. That's the one I'm actually going to be able to go to. I already have my ticket. So, guys, and you absolutely want to get your
Which
tickets.
One are you going to?
The North Jersey Friends of the NRA dinner.
Oh, hopefully Phoebe will ravioli you again. I'll pay for it. You know what? We might have a fundraiser for that. I got a side deal. Like, I had Tony Simon wear the belly shirt. We're going to have a ravioli toss.
Oh, okay. So, you just jogged my memory now that I'm thinking about this. I just want to give out a special message. Phoebe, how you doing, Phoebe?
Oh,
you get to listen to this all week. Phoebe, how are you?
Phoebe, listen, let's do a ravioli toss and we'll raise money for a charity or something, or raise money for the dinner. Where John, you know, like the dunk tank, but John will be the guy and we get to throw raviolis at him.
I'm going to come with a poncho because I'm like, you know how difficult it is for
Thank
a large guy to not get food on himself. And I'm like, really? This is
Thank
what you're going to do to me?
Thank
I love it. We'll figure it out. But
oh, yeah, I got it. I got it. Go ahead.
We're going to figure this out.
A ravioli toss. Only Mama Jersey Guineas would come up with this. Yes.
So, first and foremost, the one thing that I want to put out there, because a lot of people are nervous about this, the Friends of the NRA dinners are safe. This conflict between the NRA and the NRA Foundation is no longer having anything to do with the Friends of the NRA. The Friends of the NRA
Correct.
Dinners... are now sending their money to a new 501c3. Mm-hmm. That 501c3 is called the NRA Freedom Action Foundation. Okay, so that lawsuit...
In West Virginia.
Right. All of the drama and what is or isn't going on, and there's allegations and there's stuff... Look, none of that is going to affect this. Now, I talked to J.P. Carter, and I don't know if he got a promotion recently. Did he get
did.
A promotion?
He
so
did.
He used to be the Senior Executive Director of Advancement and Business
That's
Integration.
Susanna Kipke is Advancement now.
So now, like, since he got promoted, I don't know how long his title is. But anyhow, when I talked to J.P. about this stuff, the prize packages, all that stuff are taken care of. So now that's not being iced out anymore. And I also talked to Doug Hamlin about this. I've got coverage about this over at Bearing Arms. I'll put a link to that article so people can learn about this. But do not think that Friends of the NRA is now going to be putting money someplace where you don't want it to. The Friends of the NRA dinners, now that money goes to the NRA Freedom Action Foundation. Okay? And then we also know that John and JJ's dinner is October 7th. You go to the friendsofthenra.org/events to learn about that. And same thing with Sandy's dinner. You know, if you just put in your zip code, it'll pop up. If you're in Jersey, you put your zip code a 200-mile radius. Both of those dinners will come up. John and JJ's, their tickets are $175. Atlantic County's $80. And then the only other thing is, you know, Anthony, you talked about this already. You know, they're shooting to raise $250,000. So you really want to get in there and get your tickets because I think they're going quickly. You're going to want to get your tables and your tickets.
Yes.
And they have a keynote speaker. I know who he is. I'm excited about it. And I think you guys will like it. So I've got my ticket. I'll be there. And we might also be doing some meet and greets. There's a lot of different ideas that people have. And if you guys have ideas about this stuff, just email them in. Like, email John Acapenti. You can email me, too. But, you know, this is a big tent, you know, so we all have to support each other, all of the organizations. And that's really all I got, Anthony.
We're going to have a VIP thing at the range before the dinner like we did last year. Last year we had Doug Hamlin and John Comerford, and we did a little the Grove sent over appetizers, et cetera, et cetera. And we're going to do the same thing. We're going to have a bunch of VIPs that I can't announce yet, and we're going to be selling separate tickets for an intimate event that's going to start like 2:30 until 5:30, and then you'll go right over to the dinner where you'll have VIP reserve parking on the side, so you get to show up like a rock star. Just so that is going to be separate, because the NRA Friends of NRA dinner can't be anything political, can't raise money for political action or anything. So what we did last year was we had a VIP event at the range for Institute for Legislative Action with Doug Hamlin, the executive vice president and CEO of the NRA, and John Comerford, and we raised a nice chunk of change. And we're going to do the same thing this year with the guests, you know? So,
well, yeah. I'm looking forward to that, and I'll probably be signing up for that as soon as the tickets are available, too.
Yeah, so that's going to be coming up, too. So it's another way to donate, and ILA donations can be earmarked where they're tax-deductible, et cetera, et cetera. And we all know, Jeff Lovis corrected me, a portion of your ticket for the Friends of the NRA dinner is also tax-deductible, not the meal part, just the dinner part. And the other thing is, you know, you have Sandy's dinner, and we have the North Jersey dinner. We have two great dinners, and it's so easy to support, and they're both begging for, you know, attendees and volunteers and donations. And come on, let's make it a big success, ladies and gentlemen. It was so cool to be at the NRA annual meeting and people walking up to me and go, oh, you were part of that dinner that raised $183,000 in New Jersey. How the hell did you do that? I'm like, don't talk to me. I'm just a pretty face. I just showed up, you know. We all just do our part. So I really appreciate that. John, what else? You got a couple of minutes here. I want you to talk how people can contact you. What do you want them to do? I put in this week's reader, I put your contact email address in there too, and a couple other little things. What else would you like to add, my brother?
I want to say that I am incredibly proud of New Jersey and New Jersey advocates and activists.
Mm-hmm.
And we are punching above our weight, and we really are.
Yes.
I think that people are doing a phenomenal job, and these little things and these little projects that I'm bringing up, of talking about getting involved, this is only going to help us moving forward. The ball is moving in the right direction, ladies and gentlemen. We're not getting first down every time, and we're certainly not getting touchdowns every time, but it is going in our direction. We have a lot of beautiful things that are going on. The Third Circuit Court of Appeals is, you know, very much so on our side. At least it seems that way. When I talked to Joe Greenlee from NRA ILA last year about this, I had asked him if, you know, they're going to put out a full-on declaration of war against New Jersey. And he snickered and he said, no, not really, but we're going to file as much as we can over there. So, expect to see a lot of litigation here. Expect to see a lot of good movement in New Jersey. And, you know, right now we're sitting on, you know, a couple of cases that I think are going to go our way. They're both en banc reviews. We have
tick tock.
Yeah. The Cheeseman case, right? The Cheeseman case. And then what's the ANJRPC case? What's that name? Do you know? They were consolidated. The assault weapons ban and the magazine capacity. They consolidated the three cases. Anyhow, those were all heard already at the Third Circuit Court of Appeals en banc, so we're waiting on an opinion there. Naturally, we also heard the en banc panel for the Coons and the ANJRPC case as well. And I don't expect us to get an opinion in the Coons case yet, not until Wolford comes out. I think we're going to hear from, you know, the Supreme Court on Wolford, on, you know, the vampire rule, probably before we hear from them. But there's a lot of stuff that we have to look forward to. And I hope everybody just, you know, keeps their eye on the goal. And,
yep.
you know, there's a robust community of people that are doing good work. You have the Coalition of New Jersey Firearms Owners doing good work. You have the New Jersey Firearms Owners Syndicate that's doing good work. ANJRPC is doing good work. So the state groups, they're working for us. The national groups are working for us. And most everybody's communicating with each other. And they're all, you know, paddling in the same direction.
Good analogy.
Yeah. I mean, different groups have different tactics, right?
Yep.
But we're all...
And attitudes.
And attitudes. Very true. But for the first time in a long time, I feel like our bows are all pointed relatively in the same direction.
I agree.
Right. And you and I have seen this over the years where who's bucking this and who's bucking that. And you still get a little bit of that. But we have a lot of stuff to look forward to, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, if you're looking to get your hands dirty and roll up your sleeves and work, there's plenty to do.
I love it, John. Thank you so much. And you do make great points. You know, we have four NRA board members in the state of New Jersey. We had one forever, just Scott Bach. Now we have four. Okay, beat that with a stick. And I'm on the executive committee, and I'm on a couple of good committees, and I'm chair of a committee. So it's good. It's really good. We have good representation. You know, John Comerford's from New Jersey. We have a lot of representation in this area now that we've never had. And then we have somebody like John, the Penn Patriot, who's out there doing the legwork and the investigative journalism work that we need to bring sunlight, because they say sunlight is the best disinfectant. So, John, I want to thank you for that. Don't forget, John also wrote a book. John, what's the name of your book?
Decoding Firearms.
We have it here at the range for sale if you'd like copies. I believe they're signed as well. So support those who support you. Sandy, take it away. John at thepenpatriot.com.
John, thank you so much. We really always appreciate you having us.
No, I appreciate you too, Sandy. And like I said, it's all about opportunity. Thank you.
Well, it says it all. Looks like you've done it again. You've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, New York, New York. On behalf of our show host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, author of Crime Proof, Think Like a Criminal and Beat Them at Their Own Game, which, you know, he sort of skipped over, but still is available wherever great books are sold and at the Gun Shop, Bookshop, Gun Range, known as Gun for Hire, where you can also get a copy of Decoding Firearms that is signed, and it is a perfect, perfect gift for someone who is new to firearms, because it really does decode all of the language and nonsense and silly things that we take for granted. Well, we love you guys. God willing, Jesus tarries and the batteries hold out. We will see you again next week. From sea to the shadow.